We good now? I told you this morning, we're gonna call Detective Greg Wolf. Detective Wolf, before you testify, would you be sworn in by the foreperson?
You do solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
State your name for the record, Detective Wolf.
Greg Wolf.
Where are you currently employed, Detective Wolf?
I'm employed with the Department of Criminal Investigations at the Office of the Attorney General.
And briefly, what kind of work do you do?
We do statewide investigations, public corruption, cyber investigations, and drug investigations throughout the state of Kentucky.
Tell the ladies and gentlemen, Jerry, how long have you been in law enforcement?
I've been in law enforcement 38 years, started in 1982.
Has that all been in the Commonwealth of Kentucky?
Yes, sir.
Now, you've been working with myself, Barbara, Rewa, and Alex over the last several weeks assisting us in this investigation on this case. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
We're gonna be talking about some forensics, some of the autopsy findings, things of that sort.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's go first to the autopsy.
Yes, sir.
If you had an opportunity to review those files before preparing for your testimony this morning?
I have.
All right. Can you approach, if you could, for a moment? What do we have back here? And it's exhibit, for the records, 64. What is 64? Where did that come from?
It come from the medical examiner's office. It's an outline of the injuries to the victim.
All right. And where does that come from?
From the Office of the Medical Examiner.
All right. And is that a typical wound chart, they call it, that is prepared by the medical examiner when they're examining a body to determine its cause of death?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right. And is this particular chart, does it relate to the injuries that were on or about the person of Breonna Taylor after the shooting?
Yes, sir.
All right. And let's go through them if we could, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. And let me get mine here. And you certainly are welcome if you want to use that all to right. help you some. I think we have a beeper. Oh, here we go. No, one of those. Oh, we got it. All right, you got it.
Here, you want me?
Okay, thank you. Let me put the date on the record. It's September the 23rd, 2020. This is the Jefferson County Grand Jury continuation of their evidence for presenting here by the evidence. Thank you for reminding me. That's all right. Have you got this little laser?
Yeah, you want it?
You go ahead and point. First of all, let's go to the top right, facing us.
Can yes,
you
sir.
Do that? All right. And by that I mean, if we can work through these first two and tell us what the medical examiner determined from that examination in Ms. Taylor.
The victim had a gunshot wound to her abdomen and her left upper breast.
All right. These
gunshots did not exit the body.
And let's go to the, there's one on the, her left arm, forearm there, see that?
Yes, sir. Right. It's a left entry into the forearm and it exited her upper arm. It went in this area and came out this area.
Okay, all right. And that one, the bullet did exit from,
yes,
is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. The first two, that is the ones in the torso, those bullets remained and were found by the medical examiner and the detectives who were present at the autopsy.
Yes, sir.
Why is that important that the medical examiner permit law enforcement and autopsy to recover bullets from the body? Why is that important?
It helps establish the chain of command that came directly from the victim to the medical examiner, and then the detective recovers them directly from the victim.
All right, and what kind of forensic work can be done on bullets? We're going to be talking about some of that, but explain a little bit briefly to the jury.
Yes, sir.
Why that's important.
Firearms examiners can examine the projectile and see if it came from a particular weapon.
And how do they do that briefly without getting too complicated?
To be at the most simple terms I can, I apologize if I'm a little remedial for some of you. If I was to fire a Glock 22 40 caliber weapon here today, obviously the projectile would go out through the weapon. It would be marked with lands and grooves. The casing would be ejected. It would also be marked. The firearms examiner then does a comparison to those ballistics by doing test firing, from like or similar ammunition, and then compares the test fires to the actual rounds.
So the lands and grooves that are found on an expended bullet and on a casing, are those marks for the most part unique?
Yes, sir.
And is it because of their uniqueness that they can attribute those bullets and casings to an actual gun that was used to fire?
That's correct.
And we're going to be talking about some
yes,
of that.
Yes, sir.
All right. So let's go to the next wound that we have. Can we? No, that's all right. Thank you. I'm sorry.
And let's talk about some of the wounds that are on the chart in the lower extremities of Ms. Taylor's body.
She had a wound to her left lower thigh that exited actually her left rear upper thigh or side of her thigh. She also had a through and through, what I call through and through shot, a shot that went through her right foot and exited. And she also had a projectile that was found in the heel of her right foot.
Okay, all right. Did the medical examiner determine the cause of death for this young woman?
Yes, sir.
And what was that?
It was the wound here to the left upper breast.
Did he indicate the trajectory or the manner in which it entered and left in the body, the direction?
Yes, sir. It entered the body in this area and took a downward direction from there.
Did it injure or cause injuries to her lungs, and did they ultimately cause her death?
Injury to her lungs, also ruptured an artery that caused some severe bleeding.
Thank you. Our next exhibit, who is John Mattingly? They've heard his name. Just to refresh everybody. Who is he, a detective?
John Mattingly is the detective sergeant from Louisville Police Department that was also shot at this crime scene.
And we've heard evidence you're familiar with. He was shot at the scene.
Yes, sir.
All right. And what is this we have here at 65 for the record? Thank you. 65 for the record.
Yes, sir.
And what is 65? Get oriented here for a minute. Is this a wound locator chart?
Yes, sir. This is a wound locator.
And was this done by Dr. Schmock?
Yes, sir.
You're familiar with Dr. Schmock?
Yes, sir.
From your years of work.
Worked with Dr. Schmock many times over the years.
He's the preeminent wound, forensic wound doctor in Louisville, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Or really in the Commonwealth?
Right.
All right. Now, do we have wounds indicated here that Mr. Mattingly suffered based on the forensic work of Dr. Schmock?
Yes, sir. Mr. Sergeant Mattingly had a wound that entered his left upper thigh to the front and exited the rear of his left upper thigh.
All right. And that was the only, was there any other injuries? That was it?
That was the only injury.
All right. Now, you had talked about, we talked briefly, and that's why I asked you questions on it. You said very briefly that casings can be used to determine through a forensic exam what gun they were fired from.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's take a moment here, because I'm, and you helped me and the jury talk a little bit about what you mentioned the term Glock. Is Glock a 9mm?
In this particular case, it was a 40 caliber. 40 caliber Glock 22 was the model.
And are casings ejected from a firearm?
Yes, sir.
Tell me, explain what you mean to the jury. You're familiar with this kind
yes,
of firearm?
Sir. Typically, if you're firing a firearm, if you're firing it, they will eject to your right. They will pop out to the right, depending on what's beside you, if it's grass, if it's concrete, how far they travel and what they go. But typically, they'll eject to the right side of the weapon.
And then what, a live round then moves
right.
up into right. the chamber?
That's right. Once the round is ejected, the next round comes into the chamber until the weapon is empty. And then it'll lock back at what point it's empty.
Now, do police officers commonly, and certainly in Louisville, use a 9mm Glock as their service weapon?
Yes, sir. The Glock 40 is the weapon that the Louisville Police Department, all the officers were carrying.
And we've talked about John Mattingly. We've also heard about Brett Hankinson at the scene.
Yes, sir.
And a Miles Cosgrove. Were they all using Glock 9mm weapons on the night of Breonna's death?
They were using the Glock 40.
The Glock 40, I keep saying. I'm sorry. All right.
40 caliber.
But that Glock ejects the casings.
Yes.
All right. And in preparation for your testimony, you and I went over the photos of that.
Yes, sir.
Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Because at the scene photo, there's a number of casings.
Right.
And were those casings examined forensically to determine the source of the firing of that of those bullets?
Yes, sir. They were sent to the state police lab for analysis.
All right. And in preparation, you and I have been looking with other prosecutors at the photos that will help the jury see where these casings were located. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let me go to my next series here. 66. All right. Now let's get us oriented here for just a moment. Let's wait one moment here. I may have to have you do a little walking around here for a second.
Trajectory important.
One moment.
Trajectory.
All right. Detective Wolf, come in. Come over here. You might be able to using these, can you kind of orient the jury?
Sure.
We're going to be looking at.
If I get to wake up, oh, something happened. I'll try to get up. This is the front of the apartment, the window where gunshots were in. These markings that you see here that were initially marked by the Louisville Police Department of evidence collection, it was determined these were already at the scene. They had nothing, no bearing on this site. There were some old casings, but they were marked initially.
And we're going to be looking at some photos. In fact, Reva's already put one up, kind of orient them to where these projectiles are with either photo that helps you.
The projectiles are the casings you'll be seeing. The first casings are here. This is the parking lot. They're in the area of these cars.
All right. Great. All right. Let's go up here and look at what we got. Now, I'm gonna make it simple.
If you look at this, this is the area here where the casings.
All right. Now I'm going to make it simple. Were all the casings that you and I are going to be talking to the jury about this morning, were they all forensically examined?
Yes, sir.
By the Kentucky State Police ballistics expert?
Yes, sir.
All right. And was the Kentucky State Police ballistics expert able to identify in each instance the casing and where the source of the firearm was?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now we're looking at some casings you're telling the jury is out in the parking lot away from the apartment. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Are these casings that were determined by the forensic ballistic exam to be Brett Hankinson's?
Yes, sir.
All right.
And there again, these here are the casings I mentioned earlier that are not relevant to this scene. They were in the parking lot or in the mulch from an earlier incident. I think somebody mentioned something about maybe New Year's Eve somebody shot off a gun.
Those are irrelevant and determined to be unconnected. Okay. That's 66.
Yes, sir.
Can we look at 60? Which ones that are there? You got 1, 2?
1, 2, 1, 3, 4. Here's 5, 6, 7, 8. I believe 9 is behind the and these are just, if you look at these, here's the back of this pickup truck. The first group of casings are here, and then you come over here to the right slightly if you're facing the apartment is where the second set of casings are.
All right.
Yes,
60.
Sir. Are we at 9 that we determined there's been 9 casings from Brett Hankinson?
10 casings were recovered, yes, sir.
Thank you for the question. Raise your hand anytime you got a question. Okay, we're on 60. Let's go to 68, if we could. All right.
There again, this is the casings, and this is the sliding glass door that you'll see was shots were fired through, and this is the window that you'll see shots were fired through.
All these casings we see around these vehicles you pointed out to the jury, I got to stick out of the shadow.
There you go, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, if you can just see there, 10.
They were all casings from a firearm that was determined to belong to Brett Hank Hankinson, is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, I want to go to, I get 60, let's go to 69 real quick. I think you've already counted these, but let's see. Yes, ma'am, you already put it up?
I didn't, okay, 68, I'm sorry. And then we'll go to 69.
Okay.
Okay, all right, so, thank you.
These are all just other photographs of the casings located.
Just another picture of the casings.
Now, when there is a crime scene, is it common for detectives like yourself and other agents with law enforcement to work a scene?
Yes, sir.
And to collect evidence?
Yes, sir.
Is it part of that collection, is it common for them to collect casings and bullets and any other paraphernalia that looks to them to be connected to the crime?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, so we've got, all of these are Brett Hankinson.
Yes, sir.
All right.
That's a good question.
Yes, please.
I'm assuming these vehicles weren't there at the time of the shots?
Yes, this is...
They weren't moved, right?
No, these were the pictures actually at the crime scene by the Louisville police detectives.
Thank you.
Now, you had pointed out, I think a moment ago, about the sliding door over here.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Al. Let's show them, because we're going to show a couple photos of this window.
Here again, he's in this parking lot. Ryan, here is the sliding glass door that five shots were fired through, and then the window that five shots were fired through.
Ah. Is that Brianna's sister's bedroom there?
Yes, sir. That's my understanding.
And this goes into the...
To the living room.
Living room.
Down.
Okay. Now, I asked you that because I want to show the jury Exhibit 70. Detective Wolf, what is that? Explain that to the jury.
This is the screen door that is on the outside. You can see the shattered sliding glass door, and this is marking the five holes in the screen where the projectile went through the screen door.
And based on the trajectory, those are Hankinson's shots?
Yes.
As far as we know?
Yes.
All right, what about 71?
There again, that's a close-up of the same thing. The screen door on the outside of the shattered, you can see the shattered sliding glass door.
Is that the last screen? You know, that's a good question. I can't.
You know, I'll say straight.
It looks like just a typical screen door to me that you...
What I mean is what's behind it, the darkness I see.
Oh, that's just the room you see, the... Okay. And there was there was some blinds that you'll see when you see some pictures inside.
And Kurt, too.
Yeah.
Yes. And what we have marked are the actual bullet holes
right. From
the bullets flying through that part of the apartment.
Yes.
All right. Yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Yeah, those bullets, are those the ones that went into apartment 3?
We're going to show you some trajectories. Good question. If you'll hang on a moment, we're going to be able to show you. We're going to talk about the trajectory of forensic work that's done. So hold that for a moment. You're right on part of that. All right. I probably had a window. Wait a minute.
So he was shooting from behind the vehicle.
You know, it's okay, David.
There again, all we know is where the shell casings were found. You know, typically, like I said, you guys are firefighters.
Okay. Thanks.
If I'm shooting particularly, they will be somewhere right in this area. So you can see two kind of aisles. Obviously, there was a lot going on. There's a potential, I think you'll see that in some of these other pictures. The first thing that gets kicked and moved and picked up and moves is shell casings. They're easy to get knocked around. But in general, to your point, you'll expect to see your casings right toward your shoe.
What are we looking at here?
This is the second window that...
What exhibit number is that, Jim?
Okay, got introduced through Jeff.
All right.
And you see the shots through the window that is 5 shots.
That's the window in Brianna's sister bedroom.
Yes, sir.
How many bullets went through there?
5.
All right.
That was exhibit 22.
Thank you. Let's go to exhibit 72. First, I'll tell where are we here on this scene here?
Jack? We were looking into the where it goes into where the apartment. Here is Ms. Taylor's apartment. This is apartment 3. This is where the officers were staging to enter the apartment, and where Cosgrove and Madeline's shell casings were located.
All right. And these markers here, what do they represent? I think you just said a moment ago. What are we going to see here?
These are mostly shell casings. There's some other things in here, but I think the emphasis on this is the shell casings from Detective Cosgrove and Detective Sergeant Mattingly.
All right.
And there's a couple of other things marked in there you'll be able to see when we get up close.
All right. Tells you 19. May get a closer one here. Let's go over 73, see what that helps us out. Ah. Is it the same foyer we're looking at, just a different portion of that breezeway?
Yes, and you can see here is the entry device, RAM, whatever you call it. That they use to make entry to the door, and it's basically just a ramp. And then you see shell casings,
22, 23, 29, 28. So let's point out for the jury some of the casings here that are numbered, if you can you read them all right? For instance, 19.
Detective has been identified as coming. There again, these casings were sent to the Kentucky State Police Lab for examination and comparison with the officer's guns. 19, this came back as matching Detective Cosgrove's weapon.
All right.
20, which is right here, again, Detective Cosgrove. 23,
Detective Cosgrove, 24,
25, 28, I believe that's 28, 29, 30, Casey, Detective Cosgrove, 31,
How many shell casings from Costco was there recovered from the scene by the police?
16.
All right. Now, kind of orient them. That's in the breezeway, and
yes.
what What apartments are those two?
I believe this is apartment three right here, and then the victim's apartment is right here.
Yep.
I think there's one more case in Rewood that was just inside the door, but I don't mean to get you that.
27. 27.
There's 27, shell case is 27.
So how many cases from Harper, all of them?
He's asked a question.
16.
16?
Yeah, 38. And there's 39 just inside the door.
How many bullets can be fired with a fully loaded magazine and one in the chamber with the type of 9mm that Detective Miles Cosgrove would have had that evening?
A Glock .22-40 caliber will fire 16 rounds till empty. After 16 rounds, it'll lock back in, you have to reload for another magazine, and then you'll have it. So he had 16 rounds available.
Pretty much empty what he had.
I'm sorry?
He would have pretty much empty with the...
Yeah, so he basically, it appears, shot his firearm, fully loaded firearm, empty.
All of those that you just read out, they were all Cosgrove?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And will you get to the, will you speak later about the distance of them?
I'll try.
Okay.
Well, I think we'll show you some trajectory charts that we'll have working on.
Okay, so will it speak to, like, how far a casing can fly?
How far a casing?
With a shot, yeah.
I don't know if there's any scientific evidence to how far a casing will fly. Guys spend a lot of time shooting on the range, that's it. About here to the table, maybe, and again, it depends on a lot of factors.
Okay. So do you feel that the distance that things were, as far as like now towards the sidewalk, that would be an appropriate distance for him to be standing in front of the doorway? Does that question make sense?
It probably does, but you've got to realize that. Don't ask me again. Yeah, there's a possibility. I understand after this happened, you had medical people there, officers down there, it was a chaotic situation. So to say this is the final rescue of all these cases, that they could have been kicked or knocked or picked up, is, you know, it's...
Not necessarily where they fell.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. For the record, our exhibit 70-84, Cosgrove's bullets.
Casing, an approximation. But would it appear that he fired them all at the same time in a similar position?
Who was shooting?
Cosgrove.
Cosgrove?
No, since we're only speaking about these that we found so far, does it seem like he, or was he moving a lot, or there's no way of telling exactly, I realize that, but it just seems like it, is he moving much, or is he just standing there still firing the whole magazine?
I believe what happened, and it's there again, it's just based on what I say, as I heard, I believe, after Detective Madden gets hit, he's kind of the first guy in Cosgrove's behind him, so I think he kind of moved up to put cover on Madden. So I think he did move, I think he did, when he moved inside, it's probably where you get the casing 39. So a police officer trained to try to get cover, you know, try to be behind something when you're shooting, that's a natural instinct for a police officer. So you know, when you go through that door, you don't have any cover. So as soon as Madden went down pretty much in that area, he's trying to cover his fall launch.
So it would seem, this is all approximation, that 39, if you had to cross the threshold?
I believe that that's possible. There again, that's, we're dealing with the
It's just like a casing goes off to the right.
That's right. But, you know, there again, there's factors involved in it where officers are coming in and out, medical people are coming in and out, but that would, yes, if you.
And that was his call, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And I think I stepped on his question, but if his was exhibit 73 through 84, those are the photos that Detective Wolf identified, the 16 casings that were, the forensic exam said they were fired at Cosgrove's 9mm. Is that right, Detective?
Yes, sir, it's 40 caliber.
We're gonna go to Mattingly. Let's go to, wait a minute. Here's Mattingly right here. That's Cosgrove. What numbers are Mattingly? Yeah. Okay, we got 77. Okay. Right. We get them all. We got them all so far.
We got them all so far to start at 77. Here's the apartment.
We got to be ready.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
We got him. Okay, we're good. Okay.
No, you don't have him. You haven't talked to him.
I haven't talked to him, but that's what we need. 77.
Yeah. Will you find yours?
Well. Here we are. I got him. Okay.
No, it's a different.
It is a different.
Yes, different caliber.
So then they were not using.
I think you may be confusing off duty with.
Can you ask a question again? Well, yesterday, Detective Wastefield from the weapons training had stated that the approved weapons for LMPD officers are a Glock 9mm. This is all he mentioned was a Glock 9mm, model 17, 19, 45, and 34. They're off-duty weapons. They could use four other models, and one of them was the same, but it's 26, 27, 19, 30. But they were all 9mm. And the approved weapons were all Glock 9mm.
I'm not sure I did.
So what's the question? My question was, what's the difference between? The initial question was, is a Glock 9 the same as a 40 caliber? Are the 9mm and the 40 caliber the same thing? And it's not. It is a different size of bullet.
Yes, sir. It's a large.
And then my follow-up question is, were they using
Glock 9mm
or 40 caliber?
Was your question what is an authorized firearm for a police officer with LMPD?
Yeah, we were told by the weapons trainer yesterday, and in the reported statement, that the approved weapons were 9mm handguns, and now we're hearing that the bullets fired were 40 caliber bullets. That doesn't match up with what we heard yesterday for what's
unapproved
handgun.
Try to get an answer for
that. So are these officers using unapproved weapons?
An unapproved weapon. We'll get an answer for it. You don't know the answer to that?
No.
Okay. They're asking whether they had approved or unapproved firearms on the night of the shooting. We'll find out. Rather than speculate.
And he did say from the forensics, all the shell casings were from the 40 caliber guns. They're all from the 40 caliber gun?
Yes, but there were three.
Right.
Separate firearms that were fired that night. All right.
Thank you.
Let's go to Maddie. It's 77.
Here again are the casings from Detective Mattingly.
Which were his casings?
26, 27, 28, 30, and 31.
And this is out in the breezeway?
Yes.
And where approximately, if you can tell by looking at the photo, was Brianna's apartment that night, approximately?
I believe here is the door to her apartment.
I believe it's right over here, right?
All right, okay. All right. Now, where is apartment three?
Right here in this location.
All right. Okay. And why is apartment three a concern to this particular investigation?
That is where the projectiles went through the wall of the apartment four and into apartment three.
There were people living in apartment three?
Yes.
Did that include a mother and a father and a child?
Yes.
All right. And were they present in that apartment the night these shootings occurred?
Yes.
All right. And I want to put up 78, if I could. What is that photo of?
This is apartment three.
All right. And that's the apartment we're talking about.
Right.
And that's the apartment some bullets entered that apartment that night. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes.
All right. Now let's go to 79 inside. What's going on here, Detective?
This is the wall in apartment three where you can see the projectiles came through the wall.
All right. Are two of those?
There you see one there, and then you can barely see this one at the.
So there's three bullets, right. At least on this photo, that entered that apartment.
Right.
And is this apartment, does it back into Brianna's apartment? Just pretty much the mirror image
of it. You look at this backs up to her dining room.
All right. 70-80, look at that. Is 80 the one that you were showing the jury a moment ago that's behind that chair?
Yes, that's what you can see behind the chair.
Go to 81. What's that?
That is a projectile located on the kitchen table.
All right. Is this in apartment three?
Yes.
All right. Was that recovered?
Yes.
All right. And was there forensic work done on that bullet?
Yes, sir.
And did that forensic work determine who shot that bullet that went through the wall and landed on the table?
Yes, sir, it did.
And who fired that bullet that night?
Detective Hankinson.
All right. Can we go to 82?
Yes.
Whose sliding glass door is that?
That's the sliding glass door in apartment three.
All right. These are the folks that live in the apartment right next to Brianna.
Yes, sir.
It appeared that got all shot up too that night?
Yes, sir.
83.
That's the projectile located on the floor, same in the glass from the door.
All right. Was that forensically examined by the Kentucky State Police ballistic experts?
Yes, sir, it was.
Were they able from that forensic exam of that bullet to determine who fired that bullet that went through the apartment three and landed on the floor?
Yes, sir.
Who did that?
Detective Hankinson.
One second here. Wait, one. I just got one quick. Let me check with Rila real quick. I don't have 84.
Wait, you can get it.
Yeah, it should be 85. Wait a minute. You're saying 84. Now we've talked to ladies and gentlemen, jury here about several bullets and bullet holes that were located inside apartment three. There were a number of bullets recovered in and around this scene of the shooting at night, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And a number of them, all of them, were forensically examined to see if they could determine who the origin of those firearms, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And so when you're going to be telling the jury who fired it, it's based on the reported forensic exam by ballistic experts, is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. And so let's go to number 85. Jury's seen this before, but just for the record, if you'll orient, where are we in that, in Brianna's apartment there?
This is the hallway apartment. You can see.
All right. There's some markers there, is that right?
Yes, sir.
42 is one of them, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. And it's kind of hard to see, but there's a bullet there, is that correct?
Yes, sir, that's a bullet.
All right. And was that bullet forensically examined?
Yes, sir.
And whose bullet was that? Who fired that, rather?
It came from Detective Cosgrove's.
All right. There's a marker 43 not right next to Brianna's body lying down there. Do you recall what that is?
That is a phone.
All right. That's her cell phone?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then 41, can you see that?
Yes.
Shine that. What is that?
That is a casing.
All right. And were the ballistic examiners, were they able to determine the origin of that casing? What gun fired that left that casing there on the floor?
It is a Glock 43X.
All right, and who was using that gun that night?
It's my understanding, Kenneth Walker's. That was Kenneth Walker's weapon.
All right, so that casing came from that firearm?
Yes, sir.
All right. And they recovered the gun Mr. Walker had used that night, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And did forensic exam work on it, just like we've been talking about?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, 86. All right, where are we? We're still in Brianna's apartment here, are we not?
Yes.
Okay. And were there bullets that were recovered by the police department examining this apartment that night?
Yes.
All right. And we actually have, there's holes, bullet holes in these cabinets here, aren't there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Were there bullets recovered from that?
Yes, sir.
All right. And just to orient the jury here, go back just one second, I apologize. And Did you already shine these two entries there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's go to 45 and if we could next. That is 45, 40, wait a minute. Yes, 40, let's go to the next one, be 47, got it. All right, okay. It's women, it's not, it's, that's the marker number. 87, can we go to 87, I'm sorry. And what is that we're looking at?
That is marker 45.
All right, and what is that?
That's a projectile.
All right. Were they, did they attempt to match that?
Yes.
They have any success?
No, they didn't.
All right. Now that one, can we go back for just a moment? See that rod there and what that is? Can we go back to 86 for a moment? Thank you. And that pan, did it come from this particular cabinet here on the left at the bottom there?
Yes.
Where you see the rod. Thank you. Can we go to 88 for a moment? Thank you. All right. Did they recover a bullet in that area of that stove in Brianna's kitchen?
Yes, sir.
And whereabouts is that? Can you show the jury? There you go.
There. All right. Here's the stove.
All right. And 46, was that examined by the ballistics experts at the Kentucky State Police Lab?
Yes.
Were they able to make any determination of the what gun fired that bullet that landed there next to the stove?
No, sir. It was inconclusive.
All right. Yes, questions.
Could
yes.
They at least tell the caliber?
Please.
Could they at least tell the caliber of the,
yeah. Did you hear the question, Detective? He's asking, did we know the caliber? We're going to check.
Let's go away for 5 minutes.
Yes, good question. It may take a moment. There are quite a bit of items that were examined or listed. In there.
They were all identified as 40 caliber, and when I say inconclusive, actually what they're saying is they could have came from any of the officers' weapons, manual, Cox, rubber.
I apologize, I did bring that point up. When we say they didn't match it, it didn't necessarily mean there's some outlier that shot that in. They know it came from one of the three, either Miles Cosgrove, John Mattingly, or Brett Hankinson, but there was insufficient detail on the bullet for them to conclude which of the three. And let me go back, because they're looking at what striations and
yes.
marks. And there has to be a sufficient number of identical marks for them to say, yes, that came from Miles Cosgrove's gun. If they don't, then they call it inconclusive. And so I may be using some loose terms saying they weren't able to match that up. Well, they weren't, but they know it came from one of those three firearms. The only one different was the one you saw in the hallway that Casey came from. Kenneth Walters. All right. This young lady had a question.
I think you just answered it. I was going to see if that pulled out their weapons, but it doesn't sound like that pulled anybody out. Just exclusive. Oh, which one it came from?
We asked the question before you asked it.
Well done.
Good. But if you haven't, please continue to ask. That's what you all are here for. All right. Now, when we were going, when you were showing the jury the outside of this window, you recall that belonged to Brianna's sister's bedroom?
Yes, sir.
We've looked at, we even pointed out bullet holes in the screen adjacent to that window before it got blown out. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Did we recover, and I'm looking at exhibit 89. That's what I'm up to now. Yes, 89.
Yes, sir.
Were there bullets located in the sister's bedroom?
Yes, sir.
All right. Is that marker 47, is that where one of the bullets was located?
Yes, sir.
Was it in her dresser drawer?
Yes, sir.
All right. And can I go to number 90? Photograph number 90, yes. Yes, okay, yes, thank you. I'm gonna go back real quick to 47. Was that a projectile or bullet, I'm calling it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and were they able, did they examine it? And if they examined it, were they able to distinguish whether it was Cosgrove, Mattingly, or Hankinson that fired that bullet?
They did examine it and they were not able to distinguish.
Okay, there it was. I'm sorry, I stepped on your...
Oh, I'm sorry, I just said who fired that.
Was there a second bullet found in the sister's bedroom?
Yes, sir.
Was it in the closet of her bedroom?
Yes, sir.
All right. Is 48 a marker that was used to identify the location of that bullet when the police found it?
Yes, sir.
All right. And was that bullet taken down to the KSP lab and examined it to see if they could determine who shot that bullet into her bedroom?
Awesome. It was indistinguishable. They could not tell which officer had fired that.
No. Same thing. It was one. We know it came from one of those three guns, but we couldn't tell which of the three.
Yes, sir.
All right. 91. It's a shoebox.
Yes, sir.
Is there a hole in that? A bullet, what appears to be a bullet hole?
Yes, sir.
Did they locate a projectile in there?
They did.
And that shoebox is, what does that appear from looking at the photo, where that is located?
It's in the victim's closet.
Right. When you're talking about the victim, we're talking about Brianna's.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. She's ahead of me. Right.
And were they able to match that bullet with any of the three firearms used by the three detectives?
No, sir. There again, it could have came from any of their weapons, but they were not able to distinguish.
Yes, we got a question.
Was the shoebox
in the closet or on the wall?
It was located in the closet, but I believe they took it out when they photographed it and put it on. If you see here, here's a closet, here's a...
Good question, though. I appreciate it. It was originally in the closet. Is that clear your question? Originally in the closet. Thank you. Question. Let's go to 92. Could we do that for a moment? And then we might want to flip back and forth. All right. 92. Explain to the jury what we're looking at there.
That's in the closet where the shoebox was located.
Is that a bullet hole they've marked?
Yes, sir.
The Is that where that shoebox was before it was moved and examined by the police?
Yes, sir. That's my understanding.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ruben.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So,
please.
Where that shoebox was in the closet with those other shoes, the bullet would have to have come through that wall. Put it back to the closet where the shoeboxes were.
Can we go back and look at that closet that Ree was showing us a minute ago? So she can see what it shows.
There you go.
Does that answer your question?
So the box of the shoebox then was turned, with the bullet of the shoebox on the washing machine was turned facing that wall, so the bullet came from through that wall.
Yes, ma'am.
Not from
the wall. I might answer. I shouldn't be answering. Let the detective answer.
Right.
Did you hear her question?
Yes. She's going to put the trajectory report up, which I
think is helpful to kind of take a look at these.
While Rick was getting at trajectory, tell him a little bit about what is this?
This is
and who did this work for us? Yes, when we got questions.
Before you donate, can you go back to that picture?
Yes. You can talk about the shoebox.
Yeah, it's right there with the door. So is the other, I see where the color of one bullet is. Is that another bullet right next to it?
No, I don't think so.
If you look at the wall on the other side, where's the trajectory?
Did that answer your question, ma'am?
Here's the.
We're going to, now this is a different exhibit. I think we may have seen some of the other day with Barbara. Tell the lady, General Jerry, what is it that all these lines and marks and what is this exhibit we're looking at now and how does it help us?
This was prepared by the FBI when they went in. It's a trajectory report. And basically, it just shows you they take the holes and the bullets and where they're able to match up things and get an idea of where they came from and then go back and show what direction these rounds came from. You can see these rounds here that we talked about earlier come in the direction of where Detective Hankinson's casings were found, as well as these that go through. And then these rounds here come in the direction of where Detective Cosgrove and Madeline were at.
Now, not every fired shot could we get a trajectory on, is that correct?
Yes, sometimes, depending on what the hole, what it was, they can't establish. It's not a clean enough hole or clean enough to do a trajectory, so they can't do every one, but these are the ones. And to me, this kind of makes me shake my head and get an understanding of what was going on.
For instance, if you don't have a hole or an exit from which a bullet can be located, can they do a trajectory?
It depends on it. No, they can't. If they can't, if they find a bullet that was laying in the floor, which happened a couple times in this, they can't. But like the good indications here where you have a screen door that had five shots in it, or five shots, and then you have a wall over here, it's easy to then come up with trajectories. The more points you have that you can use.
What's on the other side of this wall up here?
There again, that's apartment 3.
All right.
The pictures we showed you earlier of the other side.
Can I help you all see in some of the trajectory we make? He had shown it to you earlier to kind of show you where Hankinson was firing shots outside of the apartment. And if you could show the one up in the bathroom, we're getting ready to show that to him. That appears to go through the sister's bedroom, doesn't it?
Yes.
And now that takes us right to 92, which is a bullet the police found that night.
Yes.
And where is this bullet located at? We can kind of see it's a bathroom.
It's there in the front, there again, the front bathroom, what I call the front bathroom. There was two, one for the
back, and it went through, and you looked at the trajectory report, and then came to rest.
All right, good. I was just getting ready to ask her to do that. Show them what bathroom that is where that bullet came.
This one here.
All right. And this, there's two bathrooms, the one on the right, is that the one that off of the...
Yes, that's off of what you call the master, what they call the master bedroom, and this was the...
That's one I call the sister's bedroom, I call it. All right. Now, we've got a bullet in what looks like the soap tray of that bathroom, the sister's bathroom. Was that taken to the Kentucky State Police lab to determine if they could identify who fired that bullet that night that landed in that bathroom?
Yes, sir. I was determined to come from Detective Hankinson's weapon.
All right. Thank you. Was there a furnace in the hall in the hallway of Brianna's apartment?
Yes, sir, right there.
All right. And was there a bullet recovered from that furnace by the police?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's 93. Thank you, sir. And was, as I've asked you before, was that bullet marked as in the photo as Exhibit 93?
Yes.
Was that also examined by the forensic expert at the Kentucky State Police Lab?
Yes, sir.
Was he able to identify who fired that bullet that went into the furnace?
Yes, sir, Detective Hankinson.
All right. Now, you had mentioned that the FBI did some of their own forensic exam inside the apartment.
Yes, sir.
Was that in approximately June of this year?
Yes, sir. They came back and conducted another search warrant and collected some additional projectiles.
Uh-huh. Did they dig into the walls and pull out some bullets that had not heretofore been recovered by the police?
Yes, sir.
All right. So I'm going to go through a few of these, and two of them are fairly important, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, these are bullets that were found through some. You have your FBI results.
Yeah.
Not here.
Yes, sir.
Now these are bullets that were recovered by the FBI. And the bullets that they recovered, did they examine those bullets forensically?
Yes, sir.
All right. Were we, by reviewing the FBI report, were you, detective, able to specifically determine, exactly in the wall where a bullet may have been recovered, or just the general room?
Just the general room. I was not there for that particular search.
Okay. But in one instance, we do have the bullet holes. We're going to talk to the jury about that in a minute. All right, Prince, we have A in dining room. That's room A.
Yes, sir.
And was a bullet recovered in the wall of that dining room?
Yes, sir.
All right. And was that examined forensically to see if they could determine the origin? Well, who shot it?
Yes, sir. The FBI forensic examiner was able to
determined that that came from Detective Hankinson's.
All right. And then they also recovered one from the Brianna's room. That's H?
Yes, sir.
All right. And the wall right in there?
Yes, sir.
All right. And were they able to determine that instance, the source of that bullet that was embedded in her wall?
Yes,
sir. Sidewall. Who was that?
Detective Hankinson.
All right. And another one. Was there not a second one also embedded in that wall?
Yes, sir.
Of her bedroom?
Yes, sir.
And what did the forensic say the origin of that bullet?
Detective Hankinson's weapon.
All right. There was also a bullet recovered from the living room, from the wall in the living room.
Yes, sir.
Is that in that general area?
Yes, sir.
All right. And who was the source of that bullet that went into the, that was embedded in the wall of the living room?
Detective Mattingly.
All right. We also, they found one that was a in the hallway. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. And, 94, can I put that up? Okay, 94 is up there. Is 90, under 94, does that contain the, a bullet that's in the hallway?
Yes, sir.
All right. There's three of them?
Yes, sir.
And did the FBI able to recover two of those three from the holds?
Yes, sir.
All right. And were they able to determine who the source was?
Yes, sir. One was from Detective Mattingly.
All right. And was there any other material on that bullet that was forensically examined?
They were able to recover DNA off of that projectile that they could say was a female DNA.
What, did it have blood or some other biological substance on the bullet?
Yes, sir, I assume so.
All right. And you, while we're here on that, was there a second bullet recovered from the, by the FBI from the, that wall that we're looking at?
Yes, sir. A second projectile was recovered from that area. It also had female DNA.
All right. And who was the source of that gun?
Detective Cosgrove.
All right.
Question.
Yes.
This wall is the closet?
No. No, ma'am. This wall is right here behind where the victim was laying.
Right, back in the
oh, yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right.
So, it's one of those, so neither of those shots is the shot that went through the wall into the shoebox, right?
No, it was the bullet was recovered. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be testifying. She's asking you if any of those.
No, these two projectiles that were recovered were coming from that wall.
Okay. Thank you.
I apologize, Stephanie, on your answer, your question, rather.
The DNA on both of those projectiles was the same female DNA. They could say it was the same female DNA. Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
One was, explain to him, but one was each one, because I think I kind of stepped on the answer here.
One was from Detective Cosgrove's weapon, and one was from Detective Mattingly's weapon.
I get your question? I also have it on hallway D. There's a, did they recover another bullet down there? Not one of the two we just talked about.
Yes, sir.
And who, were they able to determine the source of that one?
There was Detective Cosgrove.
All right. And another one in the hallway they dug out of the wall. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, Detective what? Cosgrove.
All right, okay. Two more. Okay.
So there's three total Hankinson, two total Mattingly, and four Cosgrove. You can go over the living room. The last group.
I got everything but the living room?
Yeah.
Okay. And was there another one from the living room wall that there was a bullet was embedded in there?
Yes, sir.
All right.
And that was Detective Cosgrove's.
Okay.
Weapon.
All right. I think I'll get to the two bullets that were recovered from the body. No, I haven't touched that.
Okay.
We talked about the bullets being recovered from her, all right?
Right.
But we haven't talked about what they did on it. I want to go back some if I could, okay?
Yes, sir.
When we first started this morning with the jurors, you talked about the autopsy.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember that?
Yes, sir.
And you talked about the fact that there were bullets that were recovered from Brianna's body during the autopsy.
Yes, sir.
And there were three of them, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Was one of them embedded in the heel of her, I believe, right foot?
Yes, sir.
That was recovered, right?
Yes, sir.
But that was never identified.
No, it was not identified specifically as one of the officer's weapons.
Now, there were two other bullets recovered.
Yes, sir.
All right. And one of those two bullets, all right, caused her death. That was the one in the upper right.
Yes, sir.
Through her lung, she said, and part of her artery. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. And they were recovered. Were they examined by the Kentucky State Police, those two bullets?
They were.
All right. And when Kentucky State Police did an exam, was the purpose of that exam to determine, if they could, who the source of those two bullets into her torso?
Yes, sir.
All right. And do they do that through an examination of striations made from the bullets they recovered from her body, along with test sample bullets that they took at the lab?
Yes, sir.
From each of the three firearms used by the policeman?
Yes, sir.
All right. And in doing so, are they attempting to match up, for lack of a better term, striations and other unique marks on the bullets that was recovered from Brianna to the same kinds of markings that may be present on the test bullets from the three policemen?
Yes, sir.
All right, and that's a common technique in forensic work.
Yes,
that's been around for 100 years.
Yes, sir.
All right, and do they do that with equipment, like high-intensity magnifying equipment?
Yes, sir.
That expands, you know, considerably the ability for them to examine these small and unique marks on bullets.
Yes, sir.
Now, those unique marks are made by various manufacturing paraphernalia inside the barrel.
Yes, sir.
And they, and over time, other marks come from the use of the gun.
Yes, sir.
All of which are considered by the forensic scientists to be unique.
Yes, sir.
Incapable, used with a qualified expert, to match bullets with guns.
Yes, sir.
All right. And the KSP, Stephen Hughes, the forensic expert at our lab here in Frankfort, did he examine those two bullets and attempt to see which of these three policemen may have fired those two bullets into Brianna that caused her death?
Yes, sir, he did.
And what was his determination?
He could not distinguish between the three officers' weapons which one had fired those projectiles.
And I've used the term forensic because they are important forensic exams, ballistic work, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Is there a fair amount of subjectivity that necessarily is present in such an exam?
Yes, sir.
It's not like DNA.
No, sir.
It's important, though, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
But it doesn't have the same scientific certainty that DNA does.
That's correct.
All right. Now, later on, we've been talking about the FBI. They came out and worked on the scene as well.
Yes, sir.
Cooperated in other aspects of the investigation with you guys.
Yes, sir.
All right. And did they decide to take a look at these two bullets?
Yes, sir, they did.
Three altogether, but let's concentrate on the two.
Yes, sir, they did.
And the two bullets I'm talking about are the one that caused her death at the upper left side of her chest, went down her lung, and the one right in here at her abdomen that you talked to the jury about,
yes,
a little while ago.
All right.
And did they have the same kinds of tools I've talked about kind of generally?
Yes, sir. I believe they had the exact same type of microscope.
All right. And examiner equally qualified, the same as our Stephen Hughes at,
yes,
our lab.
Yes, sir. FBI examiner.
All right. And we talked to that examiner at the FBI and the examiners at KSP.
Yes, sir.
Findings. The FBI had a different result. Tell the jury what was their finding.
The FBI examiner, he was able to say that Detective Cosgrove fired the two rounds that were in Brianna's body.
including the one that, that the medical examiner said caused her death.
That's correct.
In doing so, he looked and found, in his opinion, sufficient detail in the bullets recovered from her body to the test bullets he used for comparison purposes from the three policemen's gun, right?
Yes, sir.
In examining those, it was his judgment that they were fired by Costco, the two bullets in the torso of Ms. Brown. Okay.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
So to sum up, we have, we don't have necessarily have a conflict. We have the Kentucky State Police forensic examiner, who's well qualified, right?
Yes.
You've worked with him, all of us have, one time or another.
I'm not sure I've worked with him, but I've, he's,
oh, okay.
Yes.
But he, but essentially, he found there was inconclusive amount of similarity for him to make a call, there's a match.
That's correct.
And that's his subjective judgment, where some subjectivity enters into it.
Yes.
Some examiners are at times more aggressive than others in their attempts to match up bullets and guns. And using the same or similar equipment, it get the FBI person, their examiner, found that there was sufficient detail in his opinion to say Miles Cosgrove fired the two bullets, one of which killed Brianna.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
All right. Now, I'm going to check with my colleagues here, make sure I haven't left anything out. Have I did?
You just have to introduce these.
Oh, okay. We're going to, these are our trajectories that have been used several times, and they're marked 95 and 6. And therefore, you're on examination, and any questions you might have while we still have it. Have I? Good. Let me check with my boss here. Okay, that's all I have. But we're here for any questions you might have of Detective Wolf.
I have a question. There was, we heard testimony that there was a bullet that went through the ceiling of apartment 4 through the apartment 8, I believe, above. Was that bullet recovered?
No, it was not.
Oh, okay.
I heard close. There was two.
Two
bullet fire.
Yes. My question is on the spray. I'm looking for the directories that they show.
Yes.
It's like somebody or lots of people getting sprayed from that doorway. In other words, saying, I don't know, 90 degrees or 80 degrees from one side to the other.
I think that's just the way they marked the trajectory points that they can identify. I don't think there's any significance to the markers. They just put those around to try to mark the different trajectories that they were pointing out. I think you see this area here is the beginning of pretty much all of the trajectories, which is pretty much right in the middle. Does that make sense?
Yes. There's one photo of the bullet that it covered. It looked like that trajectory marker pointed up. Like from the floor up. No, that one. That's the bottom of the cover, and the trajectory marker is actually going up in the air.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's 20. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Is he not?
Louisville PD did their own, some of their trajectory analysis. We didn't use, that was confusing.
hit the guy, so I think that's a different one.
But the hand.
Would have been in one of those guns.
With the right missing?
Yeah, if you ever look at the picture.
If I'm looking at number 86, three, well, it looks to me like it's in this.
Yeah, see, the picture shows, the director shows that it's on the right, the picture shows.
It's on the left, yeah.
And there again, there was, the little PD had done some trajectory stuff, and then the FBI came back in, and this was somehow. So that. But yeah, right there is the.
Okay, yeah.
Right there is.
So then the FBI trajectory for those two shots is off?
No.
No.
It looks like.
No, there's some.
There's two of.
Right, there are shot anything.
If you look at these,
Right.
This one, you end up here in the back.
Or did it end up in the back?
They're not, they're all on right here. Yeah, okay, so this trajectory of court is only one that they can.
Right.
Confirm.
That they could have done.
So like the one that was, like, the one we were just referencing, right? It may not have been able to determine where that was coming from, so.
If you look at that, that's only speculation on my part. When you look at the close-up on it, it's pretty deep, pretty rough. Usually the ones they like to use are certain pipe.
Yeah.
And that's just my speculation.
So, maybe back here, what's the question?
I'm quite conceived that the projectiles from the front door go to the majority of them are out the hall of the sister's bedroom. One, two, three, four projectiles that are right there on that trajectory.
You see here, some
just outside, keep going. Yes. Sister's bedroom.
Right there.
No, yes. No, that's the sister's bedroom.
Right here.
Yeah, see there, four.
These here, you're talking about?
No, the ones in the hall, right?
Right there,
yes, yeah. Like that.
So that's the majority of the where the bullets were found.
Right.
Wow, there. But there are only two against the wall that went all the way down.
Right.
To the wall. And what are those little short trajectories there? The one that goes into the wall, that one? Comes out, goes
to
the right angle, goes
to
the sharp wall.
Yes, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure. But these here, if you remember, Walker's casing was down, right?
It's just down a little bit. Before they're grouped together.
Yeah.
And then right one little extra went out to the left, yeah, above C. But it's possible to be where they exited her. It could have been the same.
Made a good point. Some of those where they're marking things like in this hall are where they believe the bullet hit something and then continued on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
The bullet that hit the tank commander that went through?
Yes, sir.
Was everything?
Yes.
It was?
Yes, sir. It was, well, yes, sir. It was that hall. I apologize. I probably should have. I thought I made three errors. Yes. Exactly what the case was. I'll show you.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're.
They were unable to determine close to the court.
KSP.
I don't know if it's FBI.
Well, the scene is entered.
Right, 37.
Okay. And that's the bullet. It had blood on it. They were sending to, I believe, to get comparison done.
Was it a straight shot or was it a down shot of day?
If you look at the injury to his leg, it went in here, it went pretty much straight through the 30.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we'll go back to the injury report.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Casing marker 42, when you do the hall markers for yellow right row, 42 was there, and you said it came from Cosgrove's gun.
There was one that, a bullet that came from Cosgrove's weapon?
Yeah, down toward the end of the hall, there were three of them, with this casing number and marker number 42.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you think that was actually where he was standing, where there?
No, that's the projectile, the casings were all out.
All the casings, there was a projectile.
Right, the projectile, actually, bullet part, yes, ma'am.
You said it was a casing, that's why I was.
No, ma'am.
Walker's casing was there.
Walker's casing, yes.
But it's a marker toward the front, yeah.
Questions?
Yes.
For the back hallway, that, the wall that, on the closing side of the closet, just to make sure I have it right, one of those was from Mattingly, and two of those three were from Cosgrove?
No, no, ma'am, one from me.
One from you?
Yes, sir.
So there are three shots, and it was, you know, one?
Also, I've got an answer for you on your .40 caliber, not caliber. In March of 2020, the Glock 40 caliber was the official weapon, the police department, court. Mr. Rice, you can clarify that. And it's just a little bit bigger, it's pretty popular.
Yeah, I know, it was different, it was just.
Yeah, there was a time period, about that time, where everybody went from the 40 to the 9, they, so I said, that's what, we did the same thing.
You confirmed five shots from Ed?
Six.
Six, we recovered six. Six, or six facing this panel, six.
So five in front, in the breezeway, and then the one in the wall?
All.
Casing.
Well, the other one's inside the hallway, the other casing.
One casing inside the hallway was, just inside the door was Cosgrove.
Cosgrove, yes, sir.
Six casings and two projectiles. Yes, ma'am.
So what kind of gun did Mr. Walker get?
He had a Glock 43X, which is an afternoon.
43X?
Yes, ma'am. It's a good gun, I thought.
That's the one bullet that they had.
I'm sorry, you said it worked out.
A Glock.
No, Mattingly.
A Mattingly had six casings and two projectiles, if you're ready.
Any other questions?
Anything else?
I'm looking.
Yes, we got a question. You want to see the front door?
The front door wasn't the door through which Mattingly was hit with the Walker shot? Or was the door open enough to clear the door?
They breached the door. The door was open.
The door was already. I have the feeling that the door kind of opened and sort of slowed back shut a little bit.
I'm not sure, this is the pictures, but they breached the door, which they breached, and then when he opened the doors, he was shot.
Walker three of them, as soon as that door, they didn't run up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you do this, that's, you know, whoever's the first guy through the door is obviously going to be the guy that's in the most danger.
These photos may not represent exactly what at that moment, where the position of the door.
That's a good point.
Any other questions from the jury?
off the record,